Hello and welcome to our Sunday worship at St Swithin's. This is the second Sunday in the Easter season, and this morning it's Richard and Juliet once again.
Hello.
Hello.
The church really know how to party because we are in a season for 50 days of celebrating after Easter. That's a lot of eggs and Prosecco. I'm not really sure any of us have the staying power for celebrating such a crazy time. So instead, we invite you to celebrate with us during this Easter season by remembering the resurrection appearances of Jesus and reflecting together on how we encounter the risen Jesus in our lives. Today, we remember Thomas the Apostle, who is unfortunately named as Doubting Thomas. When he realizes that Jesus has risen, he cries out, "My Lord and my God." The theme of today's service is about faith, and in our reading from 1 Peter, we are reminded that faith is more precious than gold. As we begin to worship together, let us all join together in faith. The Gathering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Whoever we are, whatever our names, may we hear the risen Christ calling us to accept God's invitation to new life.
Amen. Let us open our lives to God and ask for forgiveness and grace. For those times when we have kept your resurrection as a past event rather than a present encounter, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
For those times when we have been blind to your presence, Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
For those times when we have failed to live as those who have risen with Christ, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by the Spirit, and raise us to new life in the risen Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest,
and peace to all people on earth.
Today, find a way to rejoice, knowing that God loves us and makes us whole. There are many things that you can do, but we're going to be singing This Little Light of Mine, a St. Swithin's favourite.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. The light that shines is the light of love, hides the darkness from above. Shines on me and shines on you, shows you what the power of love can do. Shine my light both bright and clear, shine my light both far and near. In the let my little light shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
On Monday he gave me the gift of love, Tuesday peace came from above, Wednesday he told me to have more faith, on Thursday he gave me a little more grace, on Friday he told me to watch and pray, Saturday he told me just what to say, on Sunday he gave me the power divine to let my little light shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I hope you feel suitably joyful. Let us pray. Risen Christ, for whom no door is locked, no entrance barred, open the doors of our hearts that we may seek the good of others and walk the joyful road of sacrifice and peace, to the praise of God the Father.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the first letter of Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. For the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. I wonder what is the most valuable thing that you possess. I've got a medal and a piece of paper signed by the Queen, but I don't think I value these as highly as the photographs of my family. So perhaps the question is not is most valuable. I heard someone this week who'd like to own a pair of trainers worth £500. But the question could be, what is it that you value most in your life? I think that there are times in our lives when we come to re-evaluate what it is that we value. When someone we love dies, when we're affected by an accident or circumstances beyond our control, or when we become ill. Suddenly the car or the jewellery or the £500 trainers don't seem so important. The coronavirus emergency is doing this to us right now. Everyone is affected and many of us are realising that the things we value in life are not necessarily the things we would have named had I asked the question 6 weeks ago. We value the small freedoms we are allowed in the lockdown. We value the kindness of others who care for us. We value the fact that we have free healthcare. In our first reading, the Apostle Peter wrote a letter to the newly formed churches across the Middle East. Peter knows that these churches had experienced some rough times. These people had to suffer various trials, he says, and these were testing the faith in Jesus,
that was still relatively new in their lives. Peter reminds these early Christians that their faith is more precious than gold. In a time of difficulty, pain, or tragedy, could it be that the most valuable thing that we have is faith? In another of the New Testament letters, we read that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. How is it that hopes and convictions can be more valuable to us than gold? What is it about faith in Jesus that is useful to us when the chips are down? Our gospel reading helps us to understand a little bit more. The story is of how one of Jesus' friends, Thomas, had missed the first resurrection appearance of Jesus to the rest of the male disciples. When he heard the exciting news that Jesus had come back to life after being crucified, Thomas refused to believe it. He said that he would need to meet Jesus for himself, see the wounds on his body, and touch the damaged flesh. If he could do that, then he would believe in the resurrection. The episode has given us the phrase doubting Thomas for anyone that doesn't believe what they're told. Like Moaning Minnie and Clever Dick, we talk about doubting Thomas in everyday English. It's a bit unfair, in my opinion. The other male disciples had actually been just as bad. None of them believed the testimony of the women disciples who'd had the privilege of being the first to meet the risen Jesus. They had all been doubters. So, to me, it's a shame that Thomas is singled out in this way. But the story of Thomas and his doubts is really important. The story is included in John's Gospel to teach us about faith. The first thing I think we can learn is that doubt does not cancel or invalidate our faith. None of the disciples had been perfect in following Jesus, but one of the few things we know about Thomas is that he had been prepared to go with Jesus to Jerusalem and said that he'd be prepared to die with Jesus. I don't think that Thomas's doubts about the truth of the resurrection accounts made him any less of a follower of Jesus than any of the other disciples. Alfred Tennyson said this, "There lives more faith in honest doubt, believe me, than in half the creeds." There lives more faith in honest doubt than in half the creeds. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is unbelief, which is a different thing. Times of doubt and questioning affect every person of faith. Facing up to these questions rather than pretending they don't exist is the right way to go. Thomas's experience was that Jesus came and met him in the middle of his doubts and questions. That encounter resulted, as we read, in a really strong statement of faith from Thomas. He declared that Jesus was his Lord and his God. Thomas's honest doubts resulted in a meeting with Jesus that strengthened and validated his faith. The writer of John's Gospel included this story specifically to help all readers to find faith for themselves. The last verse in our reading says, "These things are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." A story of doubt and questioning is included to help us in our own discovery of Jesus and the life that can come through faith in him. Another thing I think we can learn from this story of Thomas is that Jesus knows and cares about our doubts and fears. In both of Jesus' appearances to the disciples in this passage, we find them behind locked doors, frightened, isolated. It's as if they too were in lockdown. On the second occasion, it is as if Jesus came specifically to see Thomas, who he had missed the first time. Do you know that Jesus comes specifically to meet with you whenever you set aside time to pray or read the Bible? In times when we're able to meet together in church, do you come expecting to meet Jesus there? Because Jesus is certainly expecting to see you at those times. In lockdown, behind our own closed doors, the risen Jesus is still with us. If you use the Holy Week prayers that Juliet provided just before Easter, you may have noticed the encouragement each day to speak to Jesus as you would to a friend. That is a way of praying that we can and we should use every day. Jesus knows that, unlike Thomas, we will not be able to see and touch his wounded hands. That is why he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Even as Jesus spoke to Thomas and the others in that locked room, he had in mind people like us. People like you and me, holding on to our faith and sometimes struggling with questions and doubts. Talk to Jesus as you would to a friend. Like Thomas, he wants to come through doubt and bring us to a stronger faith. Faith in Jesus is a relationship with the living God. That is the wonderful truth of Easter, and it is the reason why our faith is more precious to us than gold. I wonder whether the extraordinary and difficult conditions of isolation at the moment are a time when we can meet Jesus in a new way. The examples of activity and witness that people have been sending to Juliet over recent weeks suggest to me that many people are finding out how important faith is during the lockdown. There's a tradition in the church that Thomas went on after this encounter with the risen Jesus to travel as far as India, and that he established the church in southern India that still flourishes to this day. I pray that as we eventually come to leave our own lockdown, our faith as followers of Jesus will be similarly strengthened, and that our witness as a reunited church will be full of resurrection hope in the heart of our community. Amen.
This week's action to connect us to the message of the worship today is to think of three or more things which are more precious to us than gold. Last week, Kath reminded us it is often the littlest things which are the most important. Write down what is more precious than gold to you on slips of paper, and then maybe put them on the fridge or in a jam jar. And then when you say your prayers this week, you can say thank you for these things. Richard, I wonder, what is more precious than gold to you?
Well, I think our sort of family relationships, our love together, is really the most precious thing in my life, as well as the freedoms that we have despite being locked down.
That's lovely. Profession of faith. We remember that our faith is more precious than gold, and that we are joined together as a family, however physically distant we have to be at the moment. Our faith holds us all.
We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now our prayer time. And we're going to say together, for each prayer, give us love, give us faith. As we wonder at your resurrection, at the hope you have given us, we remember the appearances you made to those close to you, and we pray that our eyes too may be opened to you and your presence. Give us love. Give us faith. We think of Thomas, so full of doubt, yet you recognized his need to be reassured by your presence. We offer you our concerns for our world. Especially we pray today for those countries without adequate resources to cope with the coronavirus health crisis. Sometimes it's hard to see your presence in events that unfold. Comfort us and take away our doubt as we pray for reconciliation and hope in the world today. Give us love. Give us faith. We think of Peter, the rock on which you built your church, so full of assurance and commitment, and then so afraid and upset to have betrayed you. Yet you appeared to reassure him of your love and commanded him to feed your lambs. We offer you the church worldwide and our St. Swithin's church family. In these days of physical separation, give us reassurance and openness to your guiding direction. Give us love. Give us faith. We think of the women who went to the tomb so sad and wanting to be near you even in their disillusionment. You appeared to them in the form of angels proclaiming the good news of your resurrection, and the women, full of joy, rushed back to tell the good news. We offer ourselves and ask for your reassurance to help us to reach out to our community. May we communicate your love as we are able, through phone conversations, with the lonely, rainbows in our windows, clapping at our doors on Thursdays, shopping and supporting others as volunteers. We remember all those who are in need in our community. We pray that we will make a difference by sharing all that you have given us, that through grace, lives may be changed by your presence. Give us love. Give us faith. We think of Mary, who loved you so much and took such risks to be close to you. We think of how you recognised her need to see you, how you wiped away her tears simply by speaking her name. We name before you those we know to be in special need at this time. Sydney, Edith, Vanda, Lorna, Sean, Ina, Stephen, Evelyn, Alfrina and Karen, Maureen, Paulette, Adrian, Lamar and their families. And all those who are sick, lonely and afraid. Be close to each of them and to all those who are unknown to us, but known to you. Give us love. Give us faith. We remember those who journeyed with us and have moved on into your eternal presence, where their eyes are fully open to your love and glory. We thank you for your presence with us now and always. We especially remember Blanche and Avril. Rest eternal grant unto them, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon them. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejoicing in God's new creation, let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Take a moment to wish those people around you, family and neighbours and our church family, peace from a distance. And maybe after this service, you might like to contact someone to share God's peace. May the power of the Creator who brings life out of death give us strength in our lives wherever we are. May the risen Christ be our constant companion in this time of separation. May the healing embrace of the Holy Spirit encircle us so that we can see resurrection in our gloom. And may the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer and Spirit, be with us and those we love now and always. Amen.
We are raised to new life with Christ. Go in his peace. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
And finally, we have our birthdays. Izzy's was on the 14th and Joe's on the 18th. Happy birthday. And brilliantly, this week, it's not just me and Richard singing, we're being accompanied by Karen.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. May the Lord bless and keep you. Happy birthday to you.